You know, in these times that we're living, there is indeed a lot of distractions. You know, the enemy is competing for our attention, and we have to be purposeful on where we focus our minds. You know, we cannot allow ourselves to be distracted about, you know, by things that, as Pastor would say, don't worth a hillbit of beans. You know, so many times we get caught up in stuff, and then we get into strife and all this stuff. We need to be focused. You know, God wants us focused. And that is part of my lesson today, staying focused. But we are continuing what we've been studying the past several weeks, the Lord's Prayer, and we're at verse 12. So let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, once again for bringing us into your house of worship and praise. Lord, it is such a pleasure, it is such a blessing to be able to come, Lord. There are so many people who are unable to come for various reasons. But Lord, we thank you for bringing us here. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, your presence is there in the midst. And so we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We welcome your presence here. We welcome your input, Lord, into this lesson. And Father, I pray that your will, your purposes, and your plans, Lord, would be established through this lesson. I pray, Father, that you would reveal things in this lesson that we need to know, that we, you know, have not known before, or, Lord, maybe not take it as seriously as we should have. We thank you, Father, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, and we thank you that he helps us, Lord, and he shows us things that we need to know. Lord, we ask, Father, Lord, that in your will be done. Help me, Lord, as I teach. Give me utterance to deliver it, and help your people to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I said, we're continuing on the Lord's Prayer, and we're in verse 12. Last week, we did give us this Day Our Daily Bread, and so we're studying, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, this is a pattern, as I said before, that Jesus gave his disciples on how to pray. And God wants us to, you know, ask for forgiveness. You know, we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. We make mistakes, and some of us more than others. But, you know, when sometimes we hurt people, we say things that, you know, that someone may take offense at. And a lot of times, you know, we don't even realize that we're hurting people. We don't even realize that someone was offended at something we said. And, you know, they may be holding grudges against us, you know, and we're not aware of it. But, you know, God doesn't want us to hold grudges because, you know, when we hold grudges, we are closing up the doors to our blessings. No, we're hindering what God wants to do in our life. We're tying his hands, essentially. And so Jesus, you know, he told his disciples, this is something that we should pray about. We should pray about our debts, our sins, and we should forgive. We should forgive our debtors, forgive those who, you know, to whom we're indebted, and, you know, those who may be holding stuff against us. You see, it's a two-way street. You know, this sword just doesn't swing one way. It swings both ways. And as we forgive, you know, we should ask God to forgive us because he is the one who forgave us our sins. Okay? Now, when I sat down to study this lesson, to type this lesson, I had no idea that it was going to go in the direction that it went. And it kind of scared me a little bit. And I called pastors them late last night to get some reinforcement about it because, you know, I got kind of nervous. And I wasn't sure, you know, where I should teach this, but this is the way, you know, the Holy Spirit was leading me. And I was so focused on the lesson that I didn't even realize how late it was. It was after 11 o'clock, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes when you're so focused that you know the time, you just don't pay no attention to the time. And afterwards I realized, oh my God, I can't believe I rang the phone at this hour. But they were gracious and they answered and, you know, they helped me. So what I'm giving you is what I feel the Holy Spirit has given me. So please don't shoot the messenger. If you have a problem with this lesson, take it up, you know, take it up with God, because he told me to teach this, and so I'm teaching it, all right? Okay, so I see my lesson wants to disappear on me. That's the one thing with technology. Okay, so verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God wants us to ask him for forgiveness. You know, when we're praying and we're holding unforgiveness in our heart, we're hindering our prayers. You know, when we come before God, he doesn't want us to come with stuff in there, you know, against other people. Because those things hinder our, you know, our prayers. He wants us to have free access. He wants our prayers to flow because he wants to answer it. But sometimes we make it difficult. And, you know, we hold grudges against people. I remember years ago, this was years ago, a family member had made me so upset. And I was angry with this particular person. And, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, you're being too hard on this person because they cannot give what's not inside of them. And I knew exactly when he said that, you know, the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to put his finger on the button. He knows which button to push. And of a truth, this person, you know, because of it, it was a relationship thing that I had with someone that they did not have the depth of relationship. And so they weren't feeling things the way I was feeling it. And I was so angry, you know, but the Holy Spirit said they cannot give out what's inside of them. But I was so, you know, angry and so bent on being, you know, holding on to this grudge. I gave the Holy Spirit a long list of things as to why I should feel I'm justified in feeling the way I felt. And I was just being awful. And he let me vent, you know, God will let us vent. But after I vented, I began to realize, you know, this, I'm out of the will. This is not in accordance with God's will. He wants me to forgive, but I could not bring myself to forgive. I was so angry. And so I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I know that you want me to forgive. I know that I'm supposed to forgive. But right now, I don't want to, because for all the reasons I've told you, I'm not inclined to. I have no desire to do it. You know, sometimes we just need to be honest about our feelings and how we feel, because God knows it anyway. You know, and if we hide it, we bury it, we'll never be able to have that breakthrough. And I said, Lord, this is how I feel, but I know this is what you want me to do. So if you will help me, I will. You know, and I just left it at that. Well, usually when this person's name would come up, anybody would mention it, I mean, I would literally feel the blood would rush up to my head. You ever felt like that? And you would feel your veins, you know, feel like they're about to pop. And sometimes I felt like my hair wants to stand up. I mean, it was awful. So this particular day, you know, someone was, you know, the family member was talking to me and mentioned this person's name. And, you know, at the end of the conversation and everything, you know, I hung up the phone, and then it hit me. I didn't experience any of those emotions. My hair didn't feel like it wanted to stand up. My veins didn't feel like it was popping. And I was like, That's new. And when it happened during that time, from the time I told God how I felt and asked him to help me, he did. He removed whatever it was, you know, the seed of that anger that I was feeding. God took it away. And so when I heard this person's name, I did not feel what those wide, crazy range of emotions. I did not feel it. And I knew instantly that somewhere between the time, you know, I told the Lord what I did, and at that moment that I had forgiven him. I can't tell you when it happened, but it did. And I'm sharing this to encourage you. You know, we all struggle with forgiveness. It's not always easy to forgive. Sometimes it is, depending on what the situation is. But sometimes the wound is so deep, you know, and our emotions get so wounded, so hurt, that we need help. We need help. But if we're honest and we ask God to help us, he will help us. You know, forgiveness is huge with God. He has forgiven us, hasn't he? I mean, if it wasn't for his forgiveness, we'd all be bound for a, you know, lost eternity. And he has forgiven us a whole lot. And if he has forgiven us, he wants us to forgive. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Mark 11:25. And whenever ye stand praying, forgive if ye have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Matthew 6:15. But if ye do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now let me tell you, this caught my attention like it had never caught my attention before. Isn't it amazing how we read the word and there are things that we just don't see like we should, you know, until the Holy Spirit turn on the floodlight? But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. See, this is conditional, isn't it? If we expect to receive forgiveness from God, we had better be willing to forgive others. I mean, this here, it just, as you know, as I read it, I began to get revelation knowledge on it, that so many of us may be walking around with unforgiven sins in our lives, simply because we refuse to forgive others. We may ask God for forgiveness, tell him we're sorry, and we may be truly sorry. But our sin haven't really been forgiven because we have a long list of grievances that we're holding against sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so or something that happened 10, you know, 15 years ago. Isn't it amazing how we hold on to things that happened years ago? Sometimes we can't even remember what we were angry about, but still we're holding on to that grudge. So, you know, I homed in on this verse and you know, and then this scripture came to me, Matthew 18:21-22. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? See, Peter thought he was being very generous. I think I read somewhere, and I'm not sure where I read it, that it's a custom among the Jews or the Israelites to forgive 3 times. If you offend someone, they can forgive you 3 times, and after 3 times they don't have to. So I suppose when Peter said 7 times, Peter was, you know, he thought he was going beyond the required number of times that they were to forgive. And Jesus surprised him. Jesus said, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. That's 490 times for you mathematicians out there. Has any of us ever had to forgive any one person that many times, maybe 3 times, 4 times, maybe 7 times, because some people do like to push the envelope, you know. But 490 times, that's a lot of forgiving, isn't it? But I bet you that we have sinned against God more than that, yep, over a lifetime. Yep. And God keeps forgiving us. You know, so Jesus said, and Jesus was specifically keeping tabs, you know, of the number of times. I mean, who can count how many times? Okay, you sin against me, I forgive you 1 time. Okay, okay, number 2. I mean, we don't do that, do we? What Jesus was saying is that it is often as we need to forgive, we should forgive. That's, you know, that's the concept of the whole thing. We are supposed to live a life of forgiving. All right? Romans 12:19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. See, we're not supposed to go out and seek vengeance, seek our own justice. Sometimes that's what we want to do. Stick it to him, make him pay. You know, we need to guard against that kind of thinking. You know, because that's what the enemy wants. But Jesus, God said, no, vengeance is mine, I will repay. You know, when others wrong us, we should be willing to forgive, release whatever it is that they've done to us, release it to God. He is the righteous judge. He knows what motivated that person to do what they did. You know, a few months ago, someone stole something from me, and it you know, some money was stolen. It was a large amount of money, and I was so upset and angry about the whole thing. But I sat down one day and I said, Lord, I forgive that person. I don't know why they did it. You know, maybe they were steeped in debt. I don't know. I just forgive. And I went on a fast, a 3-day fast. Well, it ended up the whole week. And after the week, and I was sitting at home and my phone rang, and you know, the company called me and said, Mrs. Gittens, we're gonna refund your money. All of it. They sent me a check. You know, and instantly it came to me that if I had not released that person, I would have never gotten my money back. You see, I would have blocked my blessing. I would have literally tied God's hands. He would not have been able to move on my behalf. And so many times we are guilty of doing that. We tie God's hands. God wants to bless us. He wants to do things for us, but because we are so stubborn and set in our way, and we want vengeance, we want to see that person punished, you know, the blessing is hindered, the blessing is tied up. So when God says, when Jesus said, you know, that we should pray for forgiveness and forgive, he was protecting us. It's us. We're the ones. You know, someone said that when we refuse to forgive, it's like drinking poison and expecting the person to die. It doesn't work that way. We're the ones. We're killing our own selves. We're hurting our own selves when we refuse to forgive. Unforgiveness is a blessing blocker. It holds us hostage to the person who hurt us. You know, a lot of times they're living in our brain rent-free, because that's all we're thinking about. And we, like I said, we tie God's hands and we empower Satan to work against us. So let's take a look at Matthew 18. This is about a guy who refused to forgive. Now, this is Jesus talking here. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of talents. Let's just say $10,000. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, him and his wife and his children and all that he had, in payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgive him the debt. He forgave him the 10,000 talents. Now let's just assume that we have a bill, $10,000. And the finance company or the bank calls and said, oh, we've decided to forgive this bill. Wouldn't that make you happy?
Yes.
I would. So this is what happened to this servant. The Lord forgave him all of it. You know, not 1% or 2% or 10%. The whole thing was wiped out. Because he asked for mercy. And mercy was extended to him. But the same servant, the one that was forgiven 10,000 talents, went out and found his fellow servant, which owed him 100 pence. 100 pence. He owed 10,000 talents. His friend owed him not 100 talents, but 100 pence, which is less. I mean, probably 50 bucks, you know. And what did he do? He didn't forgive. He grabbed him by the throat. The fellow servant fell down and did what he did, you know, and he said, have mercy, you know, and I will pay thee. Have patience with me and I will pay thee all. But he would not. You know, he went out, he grabbed him by the throat and he probably shook him, you know, but he had him cast into prison until he should pay the debt. Here he was forgiven $10,000. He went out and his friend owed him 50 cents. And he had him thrown into jail for that. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have also had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due him. Now this is still Jesus talking. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you not from your heart forgive every one his brother their trespass. Now this is where it grabbed me again. I'd read this maybe hundreds of times. I don't know. I've read this. But I never saw this. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you if you from your heart. See, we have to do it from the heart. Uh-huh. It can't be a half-hearted thing. You know, oh, well, okay, I forgive. But then, you know, we're still stewing about it later on. That's not real forgiveness. When we forgive, we you know, it's done. It's finished. He said, if you don't do it from your heart, you know, God will do the same thing to you. So, I mean, as I read this, I thought, oh my God. You know, this forgiveness thing is serious business. This is not something that we should ignore. You know, this is not something that we should just gloss over, you know, just skim past it. We really need to look at, you know, the topic of forgiveness or unforgiveness. So when, you know, so he was grabbed, just like he grabbed his fellow servant, and he was thrown into jail. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, Behold, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all this debt. Shouldest not thou, you know, because thou desirest me, shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth, the Lord was angry. And he delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due him. Now he lost big time. In the first place, he had the debt forgiven, all of it. But because of his unforgiveness and refusal to forgive his fellow for owing him less, far less than what he was forgiven, the debt was reinstated. One minute it was gone, next minute it was back. And not only that, he was thrown in jail. To the tormentors, this is what it says. He was thrown in jail to the tormentors till he should pay all that he owed. He suddenly had to pay it. I mean, he really messed up, didn't he? And I never saw that either, that he had to pay it. And the tormentors, I started thinking, who are these tormentors? Have you ever wondered who the tormentors were? So, you know, I researched that again, and I found out that back in biblical days when people were thrown in jail, they were tortured. They just weren't thrown in jail and left there to live, no. They were tortured, as depending on the type of criminal they were. Maybe if the jailer or the authorities needed some information from them, in order to get it, they torture them until they spill the beans. Those are the tormentors. Well, in our day, we don't get handed over to the tormentors when we go to jail. At least I don't think so. I've never been in jail. I hope not. But you know what? We open the door for the enemy to torment us because of unforgiveness. Now this is where I'm like, oh Lord, I can't teach these people this. They'll think I'm crazy, I struggled. I really struggled with this. But as I read the word, there it was in black and white. I couldn't deny it. The jailers tortured the prisoners so that they could extract information from them. Satan will torture us because we gave him legal right to do so because of unforgiveness. See, when we don't forgive, we open that door. Our armor isn't, fortified. There's a crack, and Satan will come in. Years ago, there was a song that used to come on the radio, "Don't Let Him Ride," talking about Satan. If you let him ride, he's going to want to drive. And if he's driving, you can forget about your car or whatever it is you're driving. When we refuse to forgive others, we open the door, or Satan will find a crack and come in, and he will torment us. How does he do it? John 10:10 says the only reason he comes is to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll put some sickness on us. Sickness and disease come from us. Now, don't nobody run off and say, "Oh, Miss Jem said the reason you're sick is because you didn't forgive." I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that this is an occasion that Satan uses against us. He'll steal from us. Wreck causes to be in a wreck. Somebody run a traffic light and hit us. Or, we'll fall and break a leg or something, whatever he can do, wherever he can torture us, wherever he can torment us, wherever he can make frustrate us, stress us out. That's a torment. If you find yourself going through something month after month, year after year, the same thing, that's the time to examine ourselves. And ask God, okay, God, did I open the door for Satan to come in and do this? I've had to do that lots of times. Did I do something, Lord? Holy Spirit, show me. Is there something that's given the enemy legal right to come in and mess up my life like this? Show me. And if you're really serious, God will show you. It may be something you're overlooking. It may not, doesn't have to be a big thing. It could be just something, little, but it's enough to hinder your blessing. It's enough to allow the enemy to come in and mess you up. And it really scared me, as I was doing this lesson, as I had to run it by pastors them just to get their take on it, because, I didn't want to come up here and teach, some crazy stuff. This is what unforgiveness will do. Open the door for Satan to come into our lives, make our kids sick, cause us to lose our job, steal a promotion from us, whatever he can do, you know? He's waiting, he's lurking, just looking for an opportunity, you know, to come in and strike. Do you know the Bible says that we should be sober. This is the Amplified Version. We should be well-balanced and disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. The enemy of ours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And when we open the door, when we give him an opportunity, because we refuse to forgive, he pounces. You know, sometimes you know, my husband likes to look at these shows on TVs with the safari type thing. You know, they have all these animals, and you'll see a lion or a tiger or a leopard, and they're in the background, and they're looking at their prey. They're watching, and they're waiting for the perfect time. And you know, and especially if it's, let's say, it's an elephant, you know, with a little one, and that little one is lagging behind. You know, the mother elephant is walking ahead, and that little one, you know, he's not paying attention, and he waits until he can successfully pounce on that harm, you know, that innocent little elephant that is unable to defend himself. When we refuse to forgive, Satan is waiting. He's looking. You know, he's waiting for the perfect time to pounce. I shared with you guys several years ago about the chicken hawk and the chicken and the mother hen that had all these chicks. And there was this one chick that just wandered away from the mom. The mother hen was over here with her brood, and this little one was way over here, not paying attention. And suddenly, the hawk swooped down and grabbed that chicken, you know, in its feet. And by the time the mother hen realized what was going on, and she fought, let me tell you, she put up a fight. And I was so startled, I didn't know what was going on. You know, feathers were flopping and you know, dust. There was a cloud of dust, and and this noise, the squawking. But when everything settled, the chicken hawk emerged with this chicken in its feet. And he flew up on the coconut tree and ate it. You know, that's how Satan does us. When we refuse to forgive and we're not paying attention, we're not on the alert, you know, we're not fortifying our fort, and we hold on to grudges and we stew over it, you know, we meditate on it and we talk about it and, you know, we dwell upon it, and Satan is stalking just like that. Uh-huh. And when we least expect, boom, he strikes. So we need to be sober-minded. The Christian Standard Bible, your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone he can devour. The Holman Christian Standard says, be serious, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion. He's not a lion, but he goes about as one. He pretends to be one so that he can scare us, you know, drive fear into us, looking for anyone he can devour. So we need to be alert. We need to be watchful. You know, we need to be repentant and ask God to cleanse us, cleanse our hearts, search us, see if there's anything in there that would give the enemy a right to attack us. Because that's, you know, what he's all about. Steal, kill, and destroy. And when Jesus said, you know, that we should forgive, it's, you know, we think that person is going to get off scot-free. And because we want vengeance, we refuse to forgive. No, you know, God will deal with it. He said, vengeance is his, he will repay. But he wants us to forgive to protect us, so that the enemy doesn't have the opportunity to come in and harm us, you know, frustrate us, frustrate our plans. It's for our own good that we forgive. It's not for the person, it's for us. God is looking out for us. He's a good God, and he doesn't want us to open the door to the tormentor. Psalms 139, 23 and 24, King James Version, this is David. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, that's what we need to do. Ask God to search us. Maybe on a daily basis, or once a week, whenever, you know, put our heart on exhibition there for God to search it. Say, Lord, search me. Is there anything here that would give the enemy a legal right to come in and attack me, attack my family? You know, you just let God, you know, search your heart, be honest. And the Holy Spirit will, you know, he may pinpoint certain things that we need to work on. And what we're doing, we're shoring up ourselves. We're closing, we're defending the fort. You know, we're closing up all those chinks in our armor. And so the tormentors cannot come in. So it's important. Forgiveness is important. When Jesus said that we should forgive, you know, ask God to forgive, in fact, repent, you know, and ask for forgiveness, he promised to forgive us as we forgive. We receive forgiveness as we forgive. If we don't forgive, don't expect no forgiveness. Expect the tormentors. Let me see your hands if you like the tormentors. None of us do. We don't want the tormentors. We want the blessing of God in our lives. We'll only get it if we follow the script that Jesus has provided. To walk in forgiveness. Every day, walk in forgiveness. Okay? And we'll continue the other half of verse 12 next week.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama, 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama, 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.